The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
I am a devoted listener every day, 3 hours, kids in the car, the whole thing.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Always love your show.
I just love your show. Just love it.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Good morning and welcome. Just after 6 o'clock, Fast Eddie Chiasso, happy to be with you this morning, filling in for the great Chris DeGaulle, who is, he's on his way to the swamp, Washington, D.C., for an event he's emceeing down there. But he will be back. Important programming note, he will be back Monday live with you at this time. Until then, you have me. So welcome in. 610-850-0990 is the number. We'll continue this open line Friday, our tradition to rush. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Okay, as promised, late yesterday, I have to credit Shelley on Twitter. She's the one who brought this to my attention. Jack Posobiec, who I actually went to high school with, he's the one who magnified this. This story didn't pop up in the mainstream news outlets, the places that I usually look to for stories to talk about during the show. So I just want to start. I promised on Twitter that I would address this right off the top, okay? Why is it, do you think, that Doug Mastriano resonated so much with primary Republican voters, even in Philadelphia County, where he had a wide margin? He won the primary pretty handily. Why do you think that is? Why do you think Kathy Barnett made it pretty much a three-way race for the U.S. Senate? Why? They have the passion. They have the base. They were talking about things that you wanted them to be talking about: conservative values, free market capitalism, being pro-life. All important things. So, when this came to my attention, now this wasn't in the news, this was part of Politico's playbook 2 days ago. You ready? From Holly Otterbein. Of course, they love this far-right thing. It's no secret that Doug Mastriano, the far-right state senator running for Pennsylvania governor, has had trouble uniting the GOP donor establishment behind him. It's a big reason why his campaign is yet to air a single general election TV ad 7 weeks before the election. But the depth of the estrangement between Mastriano and the rest of the GOP will be underscored at a big dollar Philadelphia fundraiser later today, that was Wednesday, benefiting his Democratic opponent, Josh Shapiro. Now, can anyone guess? Now, I brought up two names in the open there, Doug Mastriano and Kathy Barnett. A lot of voters loved them. Kathy Barnett, unfortunately unsuccessful in the Senate bid, also somebody that was unsuccessful. Jeff Bartos. Aha. Among the co-hosts for this event, this big dollar fundraiser for Josh Shapiro in Philadelphia on Wednesday, among the co-hosts of the fundraiser is, drumroll please, Cheryl Bartos, the wife of Jeff, the two-time Pennsylvania GOP candidate, and more pointedly, are you ready for this? The co-chair of Mehmet Oz's Senate campaign. Now, Jeff ran unsuccessfully for the Senate this year and was the GOP nominee for lieutenant governor in 2018, did not respond to a question about whether he is backing Mastriano. Well, of course he didn't. I want to hear from you on this one. I told you I would address it right off the top. 610-850-0990 is the number to get in. But there are reasons, Politico says in the playbook here from Holly Otterbein. Reasons why he might have qualms. A person familiar with the situation. Oh, yeah, I love that. They never quote the actual person. Can you give me a real quote? What happened to journalism, people? Person familiar with the situation said the Bartos and Shapiro families have been longtime friends. Furthermore, the Bartoses are Jewish, and Mastriano, who is widely seen as a leader of the Christian nationalist movement, has been dogged by associations with anti-Semitism, which he denies. Asked recently if he supports Mastriano, Ticketmate Oz said he is endorsing the entire Republican slate. Holly tells Eugene after Mastriano won the nomination, the majority of the GOP elected and party officials have gotten behind him. Several Republicans have continued to privately raise concerns about his campaign in recent months, though. This is another sign that despite the public displays of unity, at least some of the GOP establishment is not happy with Mastriano. Well, Holly, thank you so much for using that word, establishment. The reason that Kathy did so well, the reason that Doug blew away the competition, this is the same crap they were talking about in the primaries. This is the same situation where we're going to try and pool everyone together in the Republican Party, the local Republican Party, to make sure that Doug Mastriano doesn't win. Well, he did. He beat everybody pretty handily. And that's because we are used to this in Pennsylvania. If anyone lives out there in Montgomery County, you'll know. Mike Verb, that when I was active, I would say, I think this was 2014, 2015, pretty active with some of the folks out there. Actually, when Joe Gale got elected commissioner out there in Montgomery County, there were a lot of concerns coming from my friends that lived in Mike Verb's district. They're just like, he's not a Republican. He's not really a Republican. I'm like, oh, come on. Would you rather have somebody else? Would you rather have the Democrat there in the state house or Mike Verb? Well, Mike Verb works for Josh Shapiro now, so... So you see how it all plays out. So Jeff Bartos, the lieutenant governor candidate in 2018, and if you'll remember when he announced his bid for Senate, the first person to congratulate him and welcome him to the race was John Fetterman. I welcome my friend Jeff Bartos to the race. So we're tired of this. I don't know what it is you think you're doing out there. You know, that Chris calls them what, the mainline, cologne and cufflink Republicans. But it's my belief, and I'll put this prediction, Chris doesn't do predictions. It's my belief that one of the candidates statewide will, of the big two, of governor and Senate, one of those candidates will win. I personally am not confident in both winning, and I'm not going to tell you which. All I'm going to say is both candidates now are within the margin of error. Josh Shapiro is being painted as this moderate who's being supported by all these Pennsylvania Republicans. Lot of names from the past, and he's proud of it. So I welcome and offer Jeff Bartos to visit this audience again and explain just what are his intentions. Because this is something, if Jeff Bartos were to support Josh Shapiro, and he's not, he's saying, it, you know, this was his wife that held the fundraiser with Shapiro in Philly. What did Jeff Bartos do before announcing his Senate bid? What did he do in 2020? He created the PA 30-Day Fund. What was that? Well, that, he's Jeff Bartos, got to hand it to him. He's good at raising money, very successful in real estate. What he did was raised a lot of money to support these businesses that the governor unlawfully shut down. So think of, I guess, on a bigger scale, what you would look at it as, this happened a lot on social media, Barstool Philly, right? Dave, oh my gosh, Victoria, what's the name, Dave?
Dave Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy, that's it. Thank you. So you saw a lot of our local businesses getting the call from Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports. Hey, we're going to give you a bunch of money to stay alive here in the during the pandemic. We know your business has been hit really hard, especially restaurants. So that's what Jeff Bartos did locally. The PA 30 Day Fund, we featured him, I think, two or three times. It was a great story. We had Feel Good Fridays in the beginning of the pandemic just for something uplifting locally. Now, Jeff is smart. Jeff knows how to raise money. He was on the ticket in 2018 with Scott Wagner. He's been a member of the PA Republican Party for many, many years. And that was a cause for concern to a lot of people. So I have to ask, your PA 30 Day Fund, which helped people, you pointed to that a lot during your Senate bid, Jeff Bartos. So if you are supporting Josh Shapiro, what you are actively doing to take out Doug Mastriano is you're supporting someone who went to court to stop these businesses from reopening, to stop the very people on Main Street that you tried to save during the pandemic. And Josh cannot run away from that. That is exactly what he did. Tom Wolf, in the beginning, in the very beginning, you couldn't even buy cars online. You couldn't buy real estate online. Restaurants were just closed. There was a caller who said that he was in like the contracting business, Wolf's old shutter company, where he made all his billions. You know, he's never really done anything. he inherited cabinets and shutters. His company was open, and his main competition that this contractor used was closed. There was one person, two people, I'll say locally. There was one person that built their base on supporting these people, coming out with them in protest of the governor as things got worse and worse and worse and more restaurants closed and more businesses closed. There's one person who came out and spoke very vocally against Tom Wolf, and that was Doug Mastriano. That is what, see, leftists, the mainstream media, if you read the Inquirer, I'm trying to still work on this project. I want to see how many hit pieces are out there on Doug Mastriano every, I mean, I was counting almost two a day at one point, but I have to do this for the next time I'm in the chair here. I want to see what I was seeing from the Inquirer was at least one or two hit pieces per day on Doug Mastriano. They hate this man so much. They charge him with many things. They bring up the Confederate uniform that he was wearing at the War College, where he was a professor at the War College. Was that for a reenactment? You'll never know, because Slate, Vox, Rolling Stone, they've beat this story to death. And that's why Josh Shapiro has successfully tied him with the help of Rachel Maddow. And we got into this the last time with one of the callers. Rachel Maddow helped form this. So Doug Mastriano hired Gab. Gab was that alternative social media platform like Twitter that popped up, you know, because people were getting censored off of Twitter. That popped up. There are people who use Gab who are bad people, linked to the shooter at the Tree of Life synagogue in Pittsburgh. Josh Shapiro needles that online. He successfully tied Doug Mastriano because he uses Gab and hired that consultant. He married the two and now just runs on that as if Doug is anti-Semitic. But nobody has asked Josh Shapiro to go into any detail as to those charges. They just put them out there. The media dutifully repeats them and so on and so forth. And then you have all this Doug Mastriano hate. And what does that do? What does that do when you don't have every side of the story and you just see one side popping up over and over and over again? What does that do to Pennsylvania Republicans? Well, it makes them as squishy as they've ever been. They don't have conviction. They've always backed off when things like this pop up. As soon as someone lobs an accusation at Doug Mastriano. These Republicans, whoa, you don't support Josh Shapiro is much more. He's much more established and for he's a clear thinker and moderate. It's just like no. What people need to understand, Jeff Bartos, Doug Mastriano, Jeff Bartos with your PA 30-day fund, you helped small business. Doug Mastriano was out there on the front lines helping small business. Ultimately, we had to wait until 2021 for them to draft a referendum for us to vote to limit any governor's executive power. And nothing until that point, there was no louder voice out there statewide than Doug Mastriano. So that's where he built his base. So people don't understand. When you see all these bad things being thrown at Doug Mastriano and all these squishy Republicans saying, oh, gosh, no, I'm scared. Oh, I'll back Josh Shapiro. They don't understand the origin of Doug Mastriano, why he was so popular, why he handily took the primary. And I know I mentioned this before, but it was Doug Mastriano who got called out to the Montgomery County Courthouse steps with Kathy Barnett. And I know a lot of people that went to that rally to reopen business. So, Jeff, I ask, you're a smart person. You know this political game very well. And I understand that politics has to be played in order for you to get things done, in order for things that you want to be done. You have to compromise, all that crap. Yes, I know. It's only Republicans that have to compromise, remember. But if you are actively working against Doug Mastriano, then the voters rightfully decided your fate in the Senate. If you are supporting Josh Shapiro in this election, if you are helping him, if you specifically are helping him raise money, then when the National Party comes calling for another emergency health declaration, authorization, whatever they're doing all the way from the top down, when they do that and then they strangle small business owners in Pennsylvania again, you will have installed the person that took all of them to court to make sure that they abided. And Jeff, you know numbers and money very, very well. Do you think enough of what the government has given? Do you think that replaces a job, a business, a restaurant, a bakery? Of course you don't. So open line. I want to hear your thoughts on this. 610-850-0990. This news with Jeff Bartos, his wife holding, co-hosting a fundraiser for Josh Shapiro. This is bad, and it goes back to my first question. Why did voters accept Mastriano and Kathy Barnett so much? It's because they believed. They believed that they are true conservatives who believe in your values and will fight for you and not act like the PA Republicans like Tom Corbett. This whole, we call Washington, D.C. the swamp. Harrisburg is truly the swamp because you know what? A lot of these Republicans, and be on the lookout for this. If this happens, you will know where the Pennsylvania Republican establishment is. A lot of people are sucking up to Josh Shapiro now. A lot of Republicans, they're raising money for them now. What they're doing is they're trying to ensure that they have a job in a Josh Shapiro administration. That's right. That's what these squishy Republicans are looking for. So my folks down at the Union League who have a good amount of money and are conservative, pay close attention to the Harrisburg swamp there. And I don't want to overuse that word, but that's what it is. There's a lot of people looking out for their own backs. And if Jeff Bartos pops up, if he allows Josh Shapiro to win, if he allows that man to control the governor's mansion and have executive reign over the entire Commonwealth, then you know that Jeff Bartos never cared about election integrity. Jeff Bartos will always be squishy on the kind of things like abortion and the issues that mainstream Republicans never want to. It's just like, it's so uncivilized. I don't talk about that stuff. I'm for fiscal responsibility. Fiscal responsibility. Yes, lower taxes. If you help Josh Shapiro get that governor's mansion, Jeff, that will go against everything that we've fought for and fought against, everything that you've fought for and fought against up to this point during the pandemic. Hopefully, that wasn't for show. But if you end up in a Josh Shapiro administration, because that's the goal. That's another thing. But before we go to traffic here, that's another thing that sticks out. Do you not see? Doug Mastriano will not be elevated after the office of governor. His political aspirations will end there. I mean, this is a 30-year retired military. This is a military colonel from the Army, served over in Afghanistan. 30 years, retires, becomes a state senator. Fights for the people during the pandemic. That's why he's so popular, why he has a base. Trump mentioned that at his rally in Wilkes-Barre. He's got a base. The man's got a base. Yes, he does. People do. Josh Shapiro doesn't care about any of that. He doesn't care about your business. He doesn't care about your kids in school. He doesn't care about locking them down again. He doesn't care about doling out a bunch of money to teachers' unions and anybody else that's going to help him ascend to the top. Josh Shapiro cares about himself. He wants to be the first Jewish president. I can't blame him for wanting that position, of course, but we can't let him get there. All the governorship is to Josh Shapiro is a stepping stone. That's it. And I believe that Doug Mastriano actually wants to go to Harrisburg in the governor's mansion to fight for you. He's shown it before. Why would he have served in the military? Why would he have gotten into politics after that? Why would he have been the only vocal person locally, or statewide, I should say, that was out there fighting? So, your thoughts. Jeff Bartos, his wife, big fundraiser in Philly. Does Jeff Bartos end up in a Josh Shapiro administration? I want to hear it all. So I wanted to address that right off the top, as promised.
We are Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now, more of Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle.
.633 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Fast Eddie Chiazzo in the big chair for Chris today, who will be back Monday live with you at 6 a.m. 610-850-0990 is the number to get in. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. So if you're just joining us, Jeff Bartos' wife co-hosted a fundraiser. Cheryl Bartos co-hosted a fundraiser in Philadelphia for Josh Shapiro, Democrat Josh Shapiro, small business suing Josh Shapiro. Your thoughts? We have Casey in Philadelphia. Casey, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, Casey, there you are.
Hey, what's up? So yesterday I saw when you posted that on Twitter, I was like, oh, are you serious? Like, and I was like, I got to listen ASAP this morning, you know, while I'm getting ready for work. But anyway, not this election, you know what I mean? Like this, like, and I know he'll probably say, Jeff Bartos, you know, well, I was just supporting my wife. It looks bad, period. I don't care. You know, this is the time where you should have just been like, babe, it's just going to look bad for the party if I show up to a Josh Shapiro fundraiser against, you know, Doug Mastriano. Let me just say this, right? Like, yeah. The Inquirer takes a hit at that man every chance they get because there's nothing else that they can write about, right? Because not enough people in Philadelphia are dying for them to write about that. They have to write about Doug Mastriano, but whatever. And then they call him all kinds of racist this and Semitic that or whatever. I'm not Jewish, but I'm a black girl in Philadelphia who's rocking, you know, who has my Doug Mastriano sign on my lawn. Why? Because in 2020, I was awakened. I was shooken up. And there was only one voice of reason that I heard. And I didn't know who he was back then. But when I saw him say, like, why is Governor Wolf saying, you know, wear a mask and everything? He's like, I didn't see this law come through my desk. I was like, whoa, who is that? Because nobody, and I'm a nurse too. So it was, I felt like I was in a parallel world because I'm like, what is this world I live in? Nobody's seeing common sense. And then I saw common sense, you know, come through like that in a message. So for me, I don't care, you know, oh, he wore a Confederate outfit. I could tell a reenactment or whatever when I see, I don't care. This, all of this emotional stuff does not matter. Democrats showed people, you know, and I, this is my thoughts, and I hope your listeners hear this, you know,
sure.
The Southeastern PA listeners who, you know, might be a little hoity-toity and look at a Doug with his cowboy boots on and say,
they got their Shapiro for governor and Fetterman signs right up. Oh, yes, Southeastern right. PA is so excited to vote for Josh, you know that.
Because it looks good. Did y'all not remember? I don't care who you are and how left wing or who you are, how, you know, hoity-toity Republican you want to be. Do you remember 2020? Because I do. I remember being forced, like, to do things. Like, I felt so, I mean, I'm going to keep it real. That's the closest to slavery that in my lifetime I ever felt like I got into. It woke me up and that the government can just say, shut it down, do this. And I'm like, what is this world? Okay. I can't have anybody who's even close to thinking like that. You have a Josh Shapiro who is involved with that. But this, I'm doing grassroots. When I talk to people who are like, who aren't involved with all of like, you know, like the stuff we see on Twitter and all that stuff. And I'm like, I ask them questions. And I'm like, did you like the lockdowns? Like, did you like masks and all that stuff? They're like, not really, you know. And I start explaining things to them. They're like, wow, okay, yeah, thank you for telling me. Now, I can't say for a fact I just got another vote for Doug Mastriano. I don't notice, you know, but I can tell you that they're like, wow, I'm glad I know. Thank you. And, you know, that's going to go towards my decision, at least.
And Casey, so, you brought up something very important, though. It's something that there are people that forget. And I'm actually combing through all of our audio right now from that time to play the next time, you know, I'll be filling in. I want to play all of the egregious things and things that Wolf did, things that Wolf said, and then to back that up with the news stories that followed about Josh Shapiro's actions during that. And you brought up something very important when you said you remember 2020 and you remember one man coming to the forefront and stepping out. I remember too, just because being here in the Southeast, it was Doug Mastriano at the Harrisburg level, and it was Kathy Barnett, you know, trying as she was running against Madeline Dean. And you're a woman of color, and I don't understand when people immediately charge Doug Mastriano with racism. I'm like, well, where did you read that? Did you read that in Salon, Vox, Vice? Exactly. Where did you read that? Yeah. Just like, because what I remember is the only friendship that came out of that during COVID, when these people were fighting to stop the lockdowns, was Doug Mastriano and Kathy Barnett. And if you'll recall, Doug Mastriano went against Donald Trump in his endorsement of Kathy Barnett. And we questioned him on this show and he said it. So you bring up some people do forget. What specifically do you remember at that time? Like, why was Doug so important back in 2020? What do you remember the first thing that he did?
So for me, and I don't want to like take up your, I could go on for days, but for me, again, as a nurse, when I saw like, you know, even people around me, because this is the thing that brought out a lot of narcissism in people. Everybody wanted to be a hero. And I'm like, a lot of this stuff does not make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense. We didn't learn this in school. Okay. But anyway, so, and people would try to demonize you, like, when you're like, no, it doesn't make sense to put a mask on. That's just a reservoir for da-da-da. If you want to do it, okay, but you should not force nobody to do it, especially when it's a reservoir for germs or whatever. And you're talking like this. And, of course, like, my closest friends, we got it. You know, we got it. But, like, outside, I didn't see him. And, again, that message. And that was the last I heard of him again. Yep. Because I'm in Philadelphia, and Facebook has this thing about shadow banning. And I think he was shadow banned for me because I followed him right after, and I never saw anything come out of his page ever again. But when he said that, he was like, Governor Wolf can't just make a decree and say that, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. Don't do it. And I'm like, exactly. And I'm like, this person makes sense. And then when I found out, like, okay, yeah, he won the primary, because I'd never, I don't know why I didn't vote for him in the primary, but I saw Dave White speak, who is working with Doug Mastriano now.
Yep.
And I was like,
Dave White's not part of this Harrisburg swamp. That's why Dave White was another outsider. So you see all these squishy Republicans. Like, I questioned Jake Corman. What the heck was he doing? Why was he even in the race? Why was he pulling voters? The time that he announced, the time that he withdrew and then said, oh, you know what? I'm not withdrawing. And then he said he was going to impeach Krasner. It's just like, what are you doing? This reeks of what's happening in Harrisburg. So yeah, Dave White doesn't come from that same group, that same lot.
And you can tell, and just, you know, I'll wrap it up, not to like hold up the line, but you can tell. And for me, these are my opinions. You know, I'm not, you know, these are my thoughts, right? But with two things, I've been to a few Doug rallies. I'm going to one this Saturday, and I get to meet and greet him. I have been in touch with his campaign. The one thing I will say, though, I'm like, you cannot be scared to come to Philadelphia. I'm not going to say go to like some 24th and Diamond or something like that. No, but you have to come, you know what I mean, a little closer to Philadelphia. I'm trying to talk to them about that because people just really don't know who you are. That's it. They just don't know. But I'm at the markets. I'm telling the old ladies. I'm like, no, that's not the, because people are tired of what happened. People are tired of not just what happened. They're tired of what they're seeing today. But anyway, what's happening in Harrisburg is mimicking what's happening nationwide. So when I see an outsider, come on, a girl who wasn't paying attention to politics in 2019 is now out here screaming and campaigning and all that, is because I never knew power and greed. Really, in a second, your life can be changed. And we have free will given by God. You cannot come here and do that to people. And when I see somebody fighting against it, yes, I'm going to go behind. I don't care what name you call them. I'm behind that
Casey,
person.
No, we appreciate the fight, and thank you so much for the call this morning. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, it's 6:42. Yes. No, that's exactly right. There was Casey's someone who remembers how Doug Mastriano built his base, what he was doing during the pandemic, why he was so magnetic during that time. I think he even had a hit on Tucker Carlson at that time. But anyway, yes. And he also does need to come to Philadelphia. Dr. Oz made a great, bold move this week coming to Kensington. I will give it to him. Now, remember, Jeff Bartos is co-chair of the Mehmet Oz's Senate campaign. So we have a lot of questions, a lot of things to catch up with Dr. Oz on. But he still came. He was hanging out the side of a truck window. I mean, I've done some pretty bold things. I guess not bold. I would say stupid things in my youth. I hung out all over Philadelphia in the different neighborhoods. Have a lot of friends in a lot of different places there. And I can tell you I've done some dumb things. I don't know right now, this week, in September of 2022, if I would be hanging out the window of a truck talking, you know, just like, hey, you know, I'm running for Senate. How are you? Let's go to the clinic and get some help. Don't know that I'd be doing that, but Dr. Oz did. And yes, notably absent here in Philadelphia physically is Doug Mastriano. And he did come to Philadelphia during the lockdowns. And that's, you know, some of the things Casey was talking about, we're going to get into in the next segment. I mean, there is just a lot piling up. There's a lot of destruction, a lot of I guess I used the word depravity earlier in the week. It's just very, very bad out there in Philly. What are some of the things that were bad? Well, we'll get to them next.
Good morning, Philly. This is Dennis Prager, weekday afternoons at 1 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now, here's Chris DeGaulle.
.650 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Fast Eddie Chiazzo with you today. And we're going to get into some of the things that Casey was talking about. I have a number of stories in front of me as to why you should not vote for Josh Shapiro, but I'll let you be the judge. Victoria, I wanted to ask you real quick. You had a question about the Jeff Bartos, Josh Shapiro connection?
So I believe it was cleared up while you're talking to Casey. But it just was basically, I was a little confused. As a Jersey girl, it sounded like most of the frustration was the fact that his wife was supporting Josh Pierce. It is a bad look, but so to clarify, it's not Jeff Bartos that's doing anything shady. It's the fact that his
Got it. Why we're mad here in PA is because we're used to see over there in Jersey, you're swimming in a sea of leftists, unfortunately. You have red light Bob Menendez, Cory Booker. You got Kig Phil over there.
As someone who has relatives, my mother's from Pennsylvania, all my grandparents are from PA. I argue with friends, you guys are worse than us at this point.
Well, we are worse.
PA is way worse.
You're making a comment. The reason that we're worse is because up to this point, we've been misled by Harrisburg Republicans. Jeff Bartos has always kind of been in that circle. So it's just this story raises a lot of questions. And I'm going to try and get Jeff on the show. He'll talk to Chris about this just to clear up. Because, yes, I mean, obviously, my wife and I are not fully simpatico on politics. We're each individual people, right? Like, you and I are not fully simpatico.
I think PA, like, all my relatives are like, yeah, we're not as bad. I don't know.
Well, speaking of our friends in the Garden State, if you want to cross the Delaware, the EJ Governor Murphy, he orders a big jump in offshore wind. How about that? Phil, up there, New York, New Jersey plans to ramp up its reliance on offshore wind. Now with a new executive order from Governor Phil Murphy to increase the state's goal for building wind farms off the coast. Murphy, speaking Wednesday at an event in New York City for Climate Week, increased the state's target of 7,500 megawatts from wind turbines by 2035 to 11,000 megawatts by 2040. The move underscores the importance of offshore wind in achieving the administration's transition to a 100% clean energy economy by mid-century. Wow. That's
first
a
the
new
plastic
one?
Bags, now this.
Yeah, the plastic bags gone. That's right. You hoard all the Wawa bags here. You're just like,
yeah,
hey,
when I come
that
to PA, I take all the bags.
So, I didn't know this. This is new to me. We might have to get Mark Morano, our climate specialist, or Big Joe Bastardi back. I wasn't unaware. There are so many stories in the climate change, global warming, whatever the hell they call it now. The move underscores the importance of offshore wind in achieving the administration's transition 100% clean energy economy by mid-century. Let me know how that works out. I hear Germany, it's doing wonders. They have the solar panels and the wind. They have everything firing on all cylinders. They even had to bring back coal because they can't power their country.
Britain's doing bad, too, but that's a separate thing.
This is an aggressive target, but achievable, Murphy said. At the same time, he announced the release of a Council on the Green Economy study that projected the state can expect an additional 314,886 net jobs over the next 10 years based on current green policies and investment. In announcing the increased offshore wind goal, a jump of nearly 50%, Murphy also talked about a further expansion that may be in the offing. The State Board of Public Utilities was directed in the executive order to study the feasibility of raising the target further. Well, Kig Phil out there in Jersey, let me know how it works out for you, all right? Germany and the UK is doing great. 100%, 2050, off the coast. So what was Casey talking about? In Philadelphia, well, some headlines today. Police arrest man in connection with septa station attacks on two teen girls. That's right. Now, I'll get into this story. This is terrible. This is a terrible story. Septa police on Thursday arrested 27-year-old Philadelphia man they believe randomly assaulted two teen girls at subway stations on their way to school in separate incidents earlier this month. Tori Egypt Greer, taken into custody and will be charged with aggravated assault, simple assault, and related offenses for his attack on one of the girls. District Attorney's Office said similar charges are expected soon to be approved and filed for the second attack. Greer, not arraigned as of Thursday, and not clear whether he had retained a lawyer. First assault, September 9th, on the Broad Street line. Walnut Locust Station, 7 a.m., a 16-year-old Central High student. On her way to school when Greer allegedly grabbed her by the neck and threw her to the ground. The girl had no prior interaction with Greer, except a spokesperson, Andrew Bush, said he immediately fled the scene after the attack. Second incident occurred September 13th, 7:30 a.m., the City Hall station. A station I know very well, City Hall. Again, no verbal interaction or provocation. Greer stepped off a southbound train, then repeatedly punched a 13-year-old Masterman Laboratory and Demonstration student in the face. Caused injuries to her left eye, nose, and cheek. 16-year-old and a 13-year-old assaulted by a 27-year-old man. What's missing from this story? Both girls were of Asian descent. So, Philadelphia City Council had their first in-person session yesterday. Victoria, on my Twitter timeline, that first video. Helen Gim. Yes, City Councilwoman at large. Did she have anything to say about this assault? Did we get the, what was it? What did they start? It was like Asian Islander Pacifico Month or something. A lot of acronyms. And then the Stop Asian Hate. Stop Asian Hate. Could you play for me what Helen Gim said yesterday? She's of Asian descent, born in Seattle, Washington.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're really excited to be back in City Council.
That's Kendra.
In person. I want to take a time to talk about the tax the wealth hearing.
Is this another video? I'm not
No, this is it. Okay. Tax the wealthy. Okay.
Philadelphians show up saying that we need to tax the most wealthy folks here in Philadelphia to make sure we have funding for services, city services to move our city forward.
And we've hit the ground
running. There's Helen Gim.
We passed our first piece of legislation for this new session to return $1 million to foster care youth and their families. We are working hard on a big platform for abortion rights protection.
Oh, abortion
for,
rights.
The most successful eviction diversion program in the country and, of course, on public safety. It doesn't matter where we are in government right now, whether federal, state, or local, everybody has a role to play on some of the biggest issues, and especially on public safety, housing, and our health care and rights. City councils, local government is going to have a big role.
And I am happy
You can kill that, Victoria. So there you go. That's on the agenda. Abortion, wealth tax, public safety. Oh, I have a big story about public safety that completely flopped in Philadelphia. So these people, they're back in the building. They're back in City Hall. They're not virtual anymore. The pandemic, even though Joe Biden declared the pandemic over, that's not why they're there. This was planned earlier in the month in session. But notice from Helen Gim there, you didn't hear any Stop Asian Hate chants, right? Because she doesn't care about the two Asian girls assaulted in Philadelphia earlier this month.
For more than a decade, he's been your destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Good morning, Chris. You are a godsend to the listening communities that you serve with that voice of yours.
I turn to you just like I turn to Rush.
I'm a fan of Chris DeGaulle.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. It's Fast Eddie Chiazzo, executive producer of the program, in the big chair behind the mic for the great Chris DeGaulle today, who will be down there in the swamp in Washington, D.C. Ooh, good luck down there, Chris. But he will be back live with you 6 a.m. on Monday. So stay tuned. My number, the number to get in here to speak with me, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. At 7:30 coming up, we have General Keith Kellogg. 8 o'clock, we have Ben Manis. So we have a good show in store for you. But waking up this morning, another day in Philadelphia. 8-year-old girl grazed by stray bullet from ambush shooting near Temple University. Man killed in shooting near Drexel, identified as recent Temple University alumnus. Two news stories just broke last night or yesterday, both featuring the names of two prominent colleges, universities in the Philadelphia area. But what are we doing? What is City Council doing on their first day back? Well, Philadelphia to consider local abortion access protections. Council member Helen Gim speaks with members of the media during a news conference back on the September 14th. A handful of city council members announced plans to introduce legislation aimed at protecting access to abortion inside the city limits. So just so you know, while sadly children are getting killed in Philadelphia, that's not of concern to your city council, who is now back in session. Unbelievable. So how do you feel about Temple University? This is very, very sad. So this man killed another. Yep. Search is on for a gunman shot and killed 23-year-old man near Drexel. This was yesterday. Man identified as Everett Beauregard, a recent Temple University alumnus, former intern of U.S. Rep. Brendan Boyle. Police say several bullets fired, including one that flew right into a nearby apartment. Shooting happened in the neighborhood that's known for housing Drexel students off campus. Temple. Drexel. Do you think Helen Gim has your safety in mind? Parents of Temple and Drexel students? Of course they don't. They're worried about protecting abortion access, which, by the way, this happened last month. They're trying to give, it was Jim Kenney trying to give $500,000 to abortion. It was some kind of federation. I don't know, $500,000 from the Philadelphia General Fund that they want to give to an abortion organization. One of those, I don't remember what the name of it. Anyway. So that's some of the bad things happening in Philadelphia, some things that broke overnight. 390 homicides in Philadelphia right now. So Kevin McCarthy is coming back. He's the House Minority Leader. He's coming to Pennsylvania. The last time I was actually in this chair, he came to give a pre-buttal of Joe Biden's speech in Philadelphia. This time he's coming back to a Pittsburgh suburb, not on the Capitol steps. Friday GOP agenda will roll out. Rollout will mirror Newt Gingrich's 28-year-old contract with America, blueprint that the California Republican plans to... California Republican. Much like Pennsylvania Republican. It's okay. But he plans to unveil. It's designed to serve as a voter messaging guide for party incumbents and candidates, just as Gingrich's contract aimed to do this year's commitment to America is expected to set out the GOP's plans for addressing pressing national problems before a midterm election that's likely to hand it to the House majority. Just want to get to this quickly. New Emerson College poll out there. Top midterm issues. Economy, 39%. Threats to democracy, 15%. Abortion access, 10%. Healthcare, 8%. And immigration, 6%. Do you believe that? If you live in Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, LA, do you think that threats to democracy are at the top of your list? If you're walking about in Philadelphia, do you really believe that the threat to democracy is the top thing you're thinking about as walking in the streets of Philadelphia? And that's the thing. So now you have Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader, coming out this way today, to Pittsburgh. And he's got to talk about these things. We took some calls at the end of the last show I hosted about his pre-buttal to Joe Biden, and people are just underwhelmed with his performance, the Republican messaging. It's why Doug Mastriano does have to come to Philadelphia and why Mehmet Oz went going to Kensington is a big deal. So be on the lookout for all of that happening in Pennsylvania today. Let's go to the phones. If you want to get in, 610-850-0990 is the number, 610-850-0990. Online at 990theanswer.com. Peter from Plymouth Meeting, welcome in.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Peter.
So I was just telling Victoria there, you know, the black voice, I'm piggybacking on the what Casey said. I mean, this is a working woman in the heart of Philadelphia who's putting, you know, getting out the vote and talking to her friends. And I just don't understand, you know, Kathy Barnett was supposed to come in and help out. That's who I voted for. You know, I took Chris's advice, and I'm not, you know, sour grapes about who I voted for and who I have to vote for. And I get it. I don't understand why there aren't more black voices out there saying what's going on and helping that community. Like Donald Trump said, what do you have to lose? I mean, we see what Democrat run cities are doing. And I just can't wrap my head around why people still want to take that same horse down that road.
No, Peter, it's a great point. Yeah. So do you believe in Harrisburg is now finally trying to bring articles of impeachment up against Larry Krasner? The hearings are going to be next week, and I'm going to get into this later in the show. But you're right. What he's doing, so instead of, well, he wants to be a part of the hearings physically. He wants to be there. Larry Krasner does. And he also wants them open to the public. And the reason he wants to do that is the people that fund him, the people that installed him in our city, like George Soros, like Sean King, they're pretty much trying to form a protest of sorts. Do you believe that that protest would be made up of Philadelphians? Do you think that Philadelphians care so much about their district attorney and the people that voted for him love him so much that they would gather to keep him in place, in power?
A grassroots effort, I would say no. Handed out billboards and placards that state whatever, you know, the powers that be want them to. Yeah, I think you can give people 10, 15 bucks an hour and say, hey, we're going to a rally. Let's get all hyped up. And here's my pre-printed sign that this is what I believe in. But if you take those people aside and say, well, what are you doing? Hold on to this sign. What does this mean to you? I bet you half of them couldn't answer. They're there. They're paid. They're political operatives, however you want to say. I'm not, you know, black cat and tinfoil theorist. I'm just saying.
No, it's
the grassroots people that like. And I go back to Casey. I listen. We should have her on every week. I mean, these are the people who turn out, who are really on the ground and know what's going on, or helping out and getting other people to listen. If you just listen to the same news channels. And we all know the same thing. I don't want to be echo chamber, but mainstream media, I get it. But if you turn and even say, oh, no, I'm not political. I don't listen to CNN. I don't listen to Fox. I watch Channel 6. Well, Channel 6 news, you know, at the 6 o'clock hour is the same exact thing. Light. It's CNN light. It's MSNBC light. But people feel, no, they're not biased. I'm listening, and they're telling me what's going on in the news of the day. It's not the case. I just feel that a Kathy Barnett or some black I don't mean black, but I'm just saying, look, the left plays
the minority
as well.
Community.
Why can't we? That's what I'm saying. There are plenty of, I mean, Donald Trump in 2016 got yes. more Latino votes than any president of a Republican backing ever did. Well, that's not going away. These are specifically conservative Christian people. They believe in hard work and values. You know, so don't say that, oh, we're left and brown and black people are with us. That is a narrative that can no longer be pushed. I mean, we have all been crushed by what has happened over the pandemic. I don't know how people cannot get past or can easily get past that. And Chris says it all the time. How can you forget what we were put through? I mean, I'm sitting in my daughter's bedroom with her desk that we had set up for Zooming. I mean, we never had this before. My kids, they're, and I'm sort of going off. I don't want to.
No, okay.
But what happened in the lockdown has put our kids behind in education. The ripple effects are going to be unknown for 5 years. It's terrible. Their math scores, their reading scores, it's all down the tubes because of what happened. People cannot forget that. That's more important than anything. Our children are.
Oh, Peter, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Peter in Plymouth Meeting. And you're absolutely right. The reason I asked that question about the Krasner, why he wants this to be a public hearing and people to show up, is The problem is, he said something very important. What's on in our living rooms? What's on in the kitchen when we're getting ready, when our kid's ready for school or something like that? What's on the TV is our local news. We've always trusted that and the people that deliver it to be that source. But the problem is, these were the same people talking about lockdowns. You know, you could tell in the selection of news stories that comes across your screen in the morning like that. It's unbelievable. It's you have the death ticker. You have stories that will play on your heartstrings, but like have nothing to do with the actual problem. The problem is, it is the Democrats. It is unelected city officials, also appointed by Democrats, that did keep black and brown children out of their school buildings for 2 years. That's a problem. Why can't we prosecute them successfully when it comes to elections? Because what they do is they take instances like this forthcoming DA Larry Krasner hearing, and they have a bunch of people show up. They get the visuals from that, the audio from that. They take it, they make commercials out of it, and they pump that bilge into our local news. If you listen, I listen to news on the radio a lot when I'm in the car locally, and if you listen to it, that's exactly what it is. You can hear the sound bites, the quotes, the people that they're speaking to, what they're saying, all these hot audio clips, but nothing. No questions are ever asked. No follow-up questions are ever asked as to why. Who is getting murdered in the streets of Philadelphia? And you want to know Larry Krasner's answer to that? It's the reason that the crime got so rampant was because of the pandemic. And now we're playing catch up. There were a lot of court cases that didn't happen because he's blaming the pandemic. I have leftist friends that parrot the same darn thing. And that's because they are paying attention to their local news. That's what came across. It's like, wow, this pandemic's really hitting us hard. It's like, no, crimes are not being prosecuted. People who have illegal guns aren't being arrested. Children are not in their school buildings. 2 years, that's all Democrats. But they take all of that, and you never get to hear the other side of it. You never get to hear from people who are actually suffering, because what would that do? That will put the spotlight directly back on them. Understand how ingrained the Democrat Party, the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, the Working Families Party, understand what they do to get their message out. How they draw up emotion. They draw up emotion on this abortion issue. That's been the big, that's what they're banking their entire midterms on, is the abortion issue. If you're a Philadelphian, you remember Dr. Kermit Gosnell, the butcher in Philadelphia. He operated under the current, when Roe v. Wade was still in effect and the abortion was not up to the states, it was a federal thing. How many people forget that Kermit Gosnell took advantage of black and brown people, minorities, and it's disgusting the things that he did. And that was all under the quote unquote abortion protections. So why doesn't Helen Gim or Kendra Brooks or Jamie Gunthier, why don't they mention that? Why? Because it points out the ineffectiveness and the awfulness of the Democrat Party and what they've done to the city, cities like Philadelphia. They only want to tell you that they're doing something about abortion. They're giving money here. They're funding there. We're going to make sure everything's funded. They can't even air condition the schools. There's still 200 teachers missing from the Philadelphia school district because of how they've mismanaged all this. There's still a shortage of police officers because of how they've mismanaged everything, forcing them to take shots, demonizing them, making them the enemy. We used to laugh at things like, let's send a social worker out to a domestic violence call. That's idiocy, but that's what these people believe in. And I hate to keep invoking his name, but that's the problem is we have to successfully tie these policies and how they've affected our community, your friends and neighbors in the Black community, the Hispanic community, and the Asian community now in Philadelphia, because remember, it was their stores that were closed down by the unelected health director of Philadelphia, appointed by a Democrat. We have to tie all these things together. And that's what people don't understand, because then you have Josh Shapiro out there talking, look what I did to take down the Catholic Church and the Little Sisters of the Poor and all these things that are. And then you have people watching their local news, as Peter said, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, that's really strong. That's great. It's just like, no, Josh was part of the reason that they kept their kids out of school for 2 years, people. That's Josh. That's Helen. That's Tom. That's Jim Kenney. That's Krasner. Jamie Gunthier. Isaiah Thomas. Darryl Clark. Oh, yes. I know he's getting a lot of favorable headlines. The head of Philadelphia City Council, Darryl Clark. Unbelievable. We have to tie it all together. There are many voters like Casey out there. The problem is their voices are silenced in this public display that someone like Larry Krasner wants to do to make this all about. He wants to make these hearings about elections and how we're doing a disservice to the people by trying to remove a duly elected representative from the city of Philadelphia. Hey, Larry, we had record homicides last year and we're on pace to go even higher than that, 390 murders, and that I don't think that includes the one that I mentioned of the Temple alum near Drexel University the other day. This is all Democrats.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
.732 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Fast Eddie Chiasso, happy to be with you today. Yep, Fox News showing there he is, my minority leader Kevin McCarthy. He'll be in PA today. Get excited. Let's get excited about Republicans coming to talk about their agenda, the commitment to America. And yes, I saw Joe on Twitter. He says, Darryl Clark, who's the leader of city council, he doesn't care either. Temple keeps his district afloat from being completely destitute. Crime is rampant around Temple, but he sits on his hands. Oh, yeah. We have some news about Darryl Clark coming up in just a little bit. We'll get into Darryl. Don't you worry. But, Victoria, have you heard about the latest murderous Democrat that mowed down someone he ideologically disagreed with up there in North Dakota?
I did.
You did? Aha. More on that later. I don't want to turn to Robert Tellis. Robert Tellis, who's he? Well, that was the Democrat public official in Las Vegas who allegedly murdered a journalist, shocked the nation, but the news networks went out of their way to bury his party affiliation. And when I say North Dakota Democrat, now we have a Las Vegas Democrat. Right. Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department said they found Tellis' DNA at the scene of the crime. Car matched the description of a vehicle seen on surveillance footage taken near German's home. The German was the, investigative reporter from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He was fatally stabbed by a Democrat. While the liberal news networks covered German's horrific murder, they strangely omitted to tell viewers that Tellis was a Democrat. And this is earlier in the month. This was back September 9th. This story is from Fox News. ABC's Good Morning America introduced Tellis as a local politician, later described him as a Las Vegas County official. Tellis is an elected official who lost a primary earlier this year. ABC News correspondent Alex Prescia told viewers that Thursday, bizarrely leaving out which primary Tellis competed in. ABC News similarly neglected to acknowledge Tellis' party affiliation on Wednesday's, back then, the Wednesday World News Tonight dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, while reporting on a search warrant that was executed prior to his arrest. Network also skipped any mention in a report written on its website about party affiliation. Jeff German, investigative reporter, poses for... That's the gentleman that was killed, sadly. CBS Mornings co-host Tony Dacupil teased about the elected official, quote, who was swept up in the murder investigation. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman went on to describe Clark County's public administrator as a, quote, man named Robert Tellis, said the police executed a search warrant at the elected official's home. Strassman later told viewers that Tellis appeared poised to lose his reelection bid in June when referring to his social media attacks toward this journalist, Jeff German. An article published on CBS News website labeled Tellis a Democrat in its second paragraph. Finally, reporting. Let's go to NBC News. Correspondent Aaron McLaughlin referred to Tellis as simply a local government official who lost a primary race in June during an on-air report on the Today Show. Buried in the 34th paragraph of NBC News' online article is the admission that Tellis was narrowly edged out in the Democratic primary. Second to last line in that report, MSNBC, Morning Joe, Willie Geist, reported on the, quote, public official, how police arrested a man named Robert Tellis. Three out of four CNN programs covered Tellis' arrest that week, avoided his party affiliation. Only New Day acknowledged that the suspected murderer was a Democrat politician. And that was just before the network went wall-to-wall with the death of Queen Elizabeth II. So that was earlier this month. Robert Tellis out there in Las Vegas. How about this? Let's go back a bit further. June 8th, 1:05 in the morning, a taxi cab pulled up outside Chevy Chase home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Young man dressed in black got out carrying a backpack, suitcase. According to an FBI affidavit, he eyed the deputy U.S. Marshals standing guard outside the house, turned, and walked down the block. A few minutes later, man called 911, allegedly saying he was having suicidal thoughts. He had a firearm in his suitcase that had come from California to kill a Supreme Court justice. That was his goal. Local police dispatched arrived to take Nicholas John Roski into custody. Haven't heard that name much in the news, right? Nicholas John Roski. Remember that name. He was still on the phone to emergency services. His bags, they found an unloaded Glock 17 pistol, two magazines of ammunition, as well as pepper spray, zip ties, a nail gun, crowbar, duct tape, a knife, and a tactical chest rig. At a nearby police station, he agreed to speak with federal agents, allegedly telling them he was upset about the leaked Supreme Court decision undoing the right to abortion and worried that gun control would be further rolled back. Wow. He said he'd found Kavanaugh's address on the internet. In a second interview, he told the FBI he'd planned to kill himself after murdering the justice, and now he's facing federal charges and, amazingly, has pled not guilty. Right? So Robert Tellis kills a journalist in Las Vegas. Nicholas John Roski tries to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh. Both of those stories in the news. Where do you see them? Nowhere. That's right. Why? Well, I actually had to do a bit of digging on this one. Do you want to know why they don't care? Why we're not seeing these names up on the chyrons on cable news or in the Inquirer or anything? You know, AP, the Inquirer runs the AP stories, do they not? So, this is why. Politico. Politico, Michael Schaefer, back on July 1st. I'm just going to page down a little bit because his headline is "The Real Reason Washington Ignored Kavanaugh's Would-Be Killer." Now, this is a look into the mind of leftists in the media, okay? Roski's case, as you probably know, On the right, it's become an article of faith that the story is being ignored by biased media. Fox News report totted up the small ball treatment afforded in dead tree newspapers, relegated to page 20 of the New York Times, broadcast TV, unmentioned on any of the subsequent weekend Sunday programs that week, cable yakkers, nada on that evening on MSNBC's primetime shows, an outrageous omission, Sean Hannity declared on Twitter a few days later, inviting viewers to watch Mike Huckabee and Kayleigh McEnany discuss it that night. Now, this is from Politico, Michael Schaefer, back in July. In fact, the incident was swiftly condemned by any public figure with a megaphone. In short order, legislators passed a bill to offer new protection to judges. Notwithstanding Hannity's urge to portray a feckless liberal establishment countering mob rule, you won't likely find anyone in official Washington saying anything positive about the gunman. Michael, did they say anything negative? Did they condemn it? Reported in detail, the arrest still didn't become a sort of news moment in Washington, the kind of thing that dominates media assignment desks back, hence conversations with neighbors, the kind of story that would turn Roski into a household name. That is, at least in part, a function of something that really doesn't get enough attention. Potential violence and intimidation in Washington's political world has stopped seeming quite so newsy. Oh. Man threatens man has become the new dog bites man. Among the lesser effects of this cultural change is that, in newsrooms and green rooms, the hurdle for attention has been raised. Right. The hurdle for attention has been raised. So if a crazy person that had conservative leaning conservative, and they came to do this same thing to one of the liberal justices, that wouldn't garner more news, Michael? Why didn't Washington get obsessed with the would-be Kavanaugh assassin? I'd bet the answer is more prosaic than the media bias critics would believe. For one thing, in a city that has long drawn disturbed people with crazy schemes, Roski's story was not especially hair-raising. His gun was unloaded, he called the cops on himself, he took a cab to the justice's house, and there's nothing less compelling to us media types in all of our faux world weariness than an insufficiently freaky freak of the week. So trying to assassinate a Supreme Court justice has turned into the freak of the week, Michael. Got it. More importantly, the Roski story would have to elbow for space in our mental lists of near misses. Shooters nearly killed Reps Gabby Giffords and Steve Scalise. Couple of miles down Connecticut Avenue from Kavanaugh's place, a gunman motivated by an anti-Clinton conspiracy theory took a shot inside Comet Ping Pong. Threats against federal judges up 400%, according to a report last year. Threats against members of Congress up 107%, according to the Capitol Police. Google for examples, and you'll find a collection of news accounts that span the continent as well as the ideological spectrum, from Andy Harris, the right-winger from Maryland's Eastern Shore, to Norma Torres, a Southern California Democrat. The Capitol Police are opening in offices in California and Florida to monitor threats. It was also the small matter of an actual attack on the U.S. Capitol last year, one that led to 7 fatalities and featured rioters. 7 fatalities. Rioters chanting about hanging the sitting vice president. This is a look into the mind, folks. You have to understand why people out there that don't have to fight with us in the city of Philadelphia, why when they live out in yonder and have a lot of money and they don't have to deal with the issues that we face every single day, this is a mind into the people that report the news to those people. So it's no big deal, no big deal at all that they tried to assassinate a Supreme Court justice. Just a freak of the week thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you want to find that story in Politico, it goes on. It's by Michael Schaefer back on July 1st. So nobody cares about the Kavanaugh assassin. Got it. That brings me to the North Dakota man. North Dakota is not a place you'd expect a story like this to come from, but headline from the AP, North Dakota driver claims political argument preceded teen's death. Headline from CNN, man admits fatally striking 18-year-old with vehicle after political, quote, political argument, police say. Headline from the Gazette, North Dakota man kills, quote, Republican extremist teenager after political argument. Those are just some of the headlines surrounding this story. Now this from Fox News. North Dakota man who ran down Republican teen says he doesn't want his own life and job jeopardized. Ah. You know, I don't see on the cables this morning, on CNN or NBC here, any mention of this story. Wonder why. So this is another instance, folks. North Dakota man accused of killing a teenager with his car following a political argument said he didn't understand the charges against him during a recent court appearance. Shannon Brandt, 41, spent just days in Stutsman County Jail on criminal charges related to the death of an 18-year-old, Kaylor Ellingson, before he posted his $50,000 bond and was released, according to jail records. What is he charged with? Vehicular homicide, leaving the scene of an accident. Quote, I don't understand the differences, he told a judge during a Monday court hearing before he was released. According to video footage from a local news outlet, Brandt objected to the bail amount, saying he was not a flight risk. Oh, so as long as you're a Democrat, you can run somebody over and kill someone. You don't want your life to be affected. And you're not a flight risk. Okay, so that's why you should be out. Am I sounding crazy here? Is this crazy? Shannon Brandt. I have a job, a life, and a house, and things that I don't exactly want to see go by the wayside. Family that are very important to me. Brandt arrested Sunday morning after telling first responders that he struck the teen because the pedestrian was threatening him. Stated the pedestrian called some people and Brandt was afraid they were coming to get him. The document continues. Brandt admitted state radio he hit the pedestrian and that the pedestrian was part of a Republican extremist group. Who's the one that killed somebody? Shannon?
And by the way, the phone call they found out later when he was calling someone, apparently it was his mother who would talk to him minutes before he was run down. So actually, I don't even know where that came from. I was worried he was calling people. Like, what?
So Victoria, here's three murderous Democrats, right? Robert Tellis, Las Vegas. Yeah. Hey, WAPO, you want to report on democracy dying in darkness? A journalist was literally killed by a Las Vegas Democrat official. Robert Tellis, they weren't reporting on him favorably, so he murdered the man, stabbed him to death. Someone went to Chevy Chase, Maryland, tried to take out Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Now, another person murdered by Democrats, and you don't see it anywhere. Victoria, can you give me Biden from Philadelphia about political violence, please?
And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers. To undermine democracy itself. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
Political violence, Joe? Robert Tellis, Las Vegas Democrat, murdered somebody. Nicholas John Roski tried to murder somebody. Shannon Brandt just murdered somebody in North Dakota. Those are three murderous Democrats that have just partaken in political violence. What do you say to that? Let my love in, let my love in. Lay your heart on me. If you're hurting, lay it all on me. Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Fast Eddie Chiazza with you this morning. Victoria on the other side of the glass. And I should mention, yes, Wednesday, October 19th, the Fuge in Warminster. That's right. We're going to be there. Chris DeGaulle, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Dr. Sebastian Gorka coming into town. Tickets did sell out, but you can get yours at 990theanswer.com, or you can at least try to win, because that's what we're doing. We held some tickets aside because we knew everybody was going to be excited. The Battleground Talkers Tour, that's right, coming to Warminster. Why do I mention that now? Because we have a caller from Warminster on the line. Steve. Oh, you know what? Actually, let me do this, Victoria, real quick. I always wanted to do this when I'm on this side, and I always forget, all right? All right, producer, Steve, Warminster, line one, go! Go ahead, Steve. Good morning.
Is this Mark Levin? Yeah. Is this his son that we never talk about?
Yeah, a little shout out to the great one there. I always wanted to do that. I'm like, yeah, might as well do it here, right?
Yeah, it works. It's very funny. First of all, I'm happy that you guys are coming out to see us at the Fuge. That's a wonderful place. Oh, my goodness, with all the history there and the astronauts training secretly there. And pretty wild when you think about it, in Little Warminster.
I love it, man. No, it's going to be a great night. I love that room. I think it's going to be electric.
It's the perfect place for you guys. Perfect. Yep. Very American.
Yes, sir.
A lot of things started right there. But anyway,
what's in your mind, Steve?
What I'm calling about is we need to label when the modern Marxists label us as the thing that they do, because that's a strategy. It's like they cause the riots, but we're the violent ones. You know, they stuff a box maybe or something. We're the ones that don't believe the election. You know, now, I'm not saying they stuffed the box. I'm saying even to suspect it.
Yeah, no.
And we're the ones that are suspicious.
And Steve, you can't. No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's not unreasonable when you see video footage, as was shown in Dinesh D'Souza's film, 2000 Mules. Now, I was hoping personally for more Pennsylvania coverage, but our attorney friend of the show, election law attorney Linda Kern, said that you can't submit that video as evidence. I can't remember why specifically, but
okay.
It can't be. But the thing is, Steve, you're right. We're not crazy for saying that something bad is happening when you see videos in Philadelphia of just drop boxes being stuffed with a bunch of ballots. How can we say? How can we? That's not crazy to say. That doesn't look right.
Right. We need to label it like, we need to call it, he's doing an Alitsky, because that's the book they're coming out of. So like when Biden labels us as, you know, we're counter-revolutionaries, whatever the heck it is, which is what they are, you got to say, he's just pulling an Alitsky. You can do it nationwide. Everybody just give it a title. I mean, they're renaming everything. Why can't we?
Right. That's a great point, Steve. No, thank you so much.
He just pulled in Alitsky the other day, trying to rabble everybody up at the very thing they're doing. We're not doing that stuff. I'm not like against the country. I'm not. Neither are you.
Nope.
You're not. They're pulling at Alitsky.
Well, Steve, I appreciate the call and have a great weekend, man. Thank you. Out there in Warminster, where our big event will be, Dr. Sebastian Gorka will be there. He'll be there with Chris. He'll be there with Mike Gallagher. Dennis Prager, 990theanswer.com. You still have a chance to win those tickets. How about gas, right? Gas prices. That ends a 99 day of decline. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Gas prices are increasing, ending 99 days of decline. This Wednesday, 99 days straight. I've been lowering gas prices all week here. Come on, man. Yep. Well, the national average for regular is now $3.68 per gallon. Prices increased 0.7 cents after falling for 99 days straight. That's according to the New York Times. Average cost is still down from the all-time high of $5.01 in mid-June, according to the American Automobile. American Automobile something. But all streaks have to come to an end. Listen, they're only doing this. They're only going to be lower until the election. Trump said it the other night with Sean Hannity. He said it, and he's exactly right. Chris has been saying it. Because this might be why. You ready? Biden administration considering replenishing the Strategic Petroleum Reserve when oil dips below $80 a barrel. But that was 2 years after Democrats blocked former President Trump from filling the reserve. Biden will buy oil just below $80, he says. The Democrats stopped Trump at $24. They don't have your interests in mind, folks. News
this
now.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Your common sense is really keeping me sane. Thank you.
I start in the morning with Chris, and then I go all the way through the day until I get out of my car when I come home.
Good morning, man. Love your show.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Just after 8 o'clock, Fast Eddie Caiazzo, the executive producer of the program, in the big chair for Chris today. Chris, emceeing an event in there down there in Washington, D.C. today, but we'll be back live with you on Monday at 6 a.m. So stay tuned. Until then, you're stuck with me. 610-850-0990 is the number to get in. 610-850-0990 is the number. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Today, an 8-year-old girl grazed by a stray bullet from ambush shooting near Temple University. Police arrest the man connection with SEPTA station attacks on two teen girls. Man killed, this is very sad, shooting near Drexel, identified as a recent Temple University alumnus. That's Everett Beauregard, who lost his life. A report, this from our friend A.W.R. Hawkins over there at Breitbart. Nearly 8 people shot every day in Philadelphia. A report by the Inquirer, he extracts this from. On average, we're shot every day in Philadelphia between Memorial Day and Labor Day 2022. Last year, more than 560 people were killed, the overwhelming majority by guns, another 1,800 wounded by bullets. It was the city's most violent year ever. This year's pace has been worse. I think I mentioned to you officially there were 390 homicides in Philadelphia. NBC contrasted 2021 with the previous year showed there were 499 homicides in 2020, just over 350 in 2019. A record 791 shootings from Memorial Day weekend to Labor Day 2022. So that's just some of the news in Philadelphia today, some of the numbers that you can pore over. So we bring in my next guest, a specialist, public safety expert, columnist for Broad and Liberty and The Daily Wire, Ben Manis, and Ben's latest piece at Broad and Liberty deals with this very thing. And will it have an impact on the election? Rising crimes, impact on the midterm elections. That's the piece. Ben, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
So those are just some of the stats and some of the headlines that just broke overnight, Ben. So what can you tell us? Is this you have Kevin McCarthy coming to visit today. He's going to be outside of Pittsburgh talking about this. Will crime be on the agenda in this new plan Republicans plan on putting forth? Like, how can we tell people over and over again that things are really, really freaking bad here in Philly, Ben?
Yeah, and obviously the all-star Republican tour that's currently sitting in Washington, PA, right outside Pittsburgh. You got Kat Kamick, you got Burgess Owens, you got Jim Jordan, you got Kevin McCarthy. Great. They're announcing this, contract with America. What they need to do, and I'm not, obviously in touch with them, but what they need to do is focus on the kitchen table issues that the various people running, especially here in the Commonwealth on the left side of the aisle, are not. So what my piece looks at, and let me get the cheap plug out of the way. Go to broadandliberty.com or just follow me on Twitter so that you can catch any of my articles. It's at Public Safety SME, subject matter expert, all one word. And I like to get that out of the way so that people can read along.
Sure.
So the basic idea here is if you go to John Fetterman, or Josh Shapiro's Twitter, which I have linked in my article for full transparency, mm-hmm. you'll see nothing but a constant barrage. I mean, every 5 or 10 minutes, there's a new tweet coming out, and it's all highlighting social issues impacting their base on the left, a very progressive base on the left. So it ranges from, you know, their constant beat of the abortion drum to their take on immigration, which they consider anyone advocating for, you know, immigration law enforcement to be xenophobic or racist, mm-hmm. or the LGBT rights issue. And it's like a rotating flex of those three things. Meanwhile, and you highlighted it. As of this morning, we're at 393 murders year to date here in the city of Philadelphia. Pittsburgh finished with roughly over 100 last year, which when you consider the small physical size of Pittsburgh is a lot for that city. So the two biggest cities in Pennsylvania are just, you know, shattering their own murder records, right?
Yes.
562 was our total last year. We're on track to beat that this year. But, you know, you have to look at the actual cause and effect for these. Because if you ask them why the crime is so bad, they'll give you a litany of excuses ranging from COVID to, you know, racism to what have you. But, 2016 was the last full year Seth Williams, who himself had to resign after being indicted for personal corruption reasons, was the district attorney in Philadelphia. We ended at 277. The election year, we had an interim DA, and Krasner was running for his first term. We had 315, and it has gone up exponentially since, all the way to 562 last year. So, you know, you have to correlate Larry Krasner's reign as district attorney and the complete and total failure of Josh Shapiro as AG being the oversight function for our local DA, being the internal affairs bureau for our local DA, for not doing anything about it. And now this man is running for governor and he's got nothing to say about crime in Philadelphia, which it says a lot.
No, and Ben Manis is with us, Public Safety SME on Twitter. His latest piece in Broad and Liberty, Rising Crimes, Impact on the Midterm Elections. That isn't something very important you brought up, Ben, because now I'm seeing the rebuttal to this. So it seems like the Shapiro campaign, or at least the people that support him, have found a workaround to this mm-hmm. issue of Josh being able to prosecute people that Larry isn't. And this is the excuse, and I'm reading it because you have to understand what they're talking about over there. You have to understand, I hate to say it, but your enemy, right? So what they're saying now is that Josh Shapiro couldn't make all the charges, like bring these people to court and prosecute these bad people that have gotten out under Larry Krasner, because the ADA's office, they lost the case against them. So that's kind of the out that they've given Josh Shapiro, so where he doesn't have to explain himself for why he didn't do anything. Is that true? Like, once
it's 100% false. It's not only not true. The idiot who's been writing these things, and I haven't read what you read, and I'd, link me afterwards, Eddie, so I can read them.
Yeah.
But if the excuse is double jeopardy, which is what it sounds like, double jeopardy is the constitutional right that people can't be tried multiple times for something they were found not guilty of. Okay. So if you got off on charges, you can't be retried for them. And I understand that. And that's part of our American due process, which is fine. The problem is, if you extrapolate the number of cases that Larry Krasner's office has null pros, which means just simply drop the charges and not prosecuted them, mm-hmm. or broken down, so not given the full breadth of all the charges, Shapiro could have had a complete bite at each and every one of these. And a good example is, look at the amount of federal cases brought first by Mick Swain and now Jennifer Arbiter Williams at the U.S. Attorney's Office, who, you know, let's say Larry lets off an armed robbery suspect or a murder suspect or, you know, an assault with a deadly weapon suspect. Well, they'll go after the felon with the gun suspect, which is a federal crime. That's called a Brady crime. Okay, so what Shapiro could do if Krasner straight out drops charges on somebody, he absolutely could charge them. But let me go into a little more depth of how Josh Shapiro has completely abdicated his responsibility as an attorney general and instead is running around trying to convince people he's going to do things he can't do.
Please.
As a governor. And this is the Act 58 boondoggle. So for the listeners who may not remember this by number, Act 58 was passed in 2019, bipartisan, with broad support in the Pennsylvania House in Harrisburg. And it gave the Shapiro Attorney General office full concurrent jurisdiction to enforce firearms and other violent crimes in the city of Philadelphia, i.e., it was a second pair of hands at the trough so that they could send deputy AGs and state troopers and AG agents down here to help the Philadelphia police and push some of these cases through, you know, with the, and remember, this is a bipartisan bill, with the beleaguered DA's office. So, you know, they weren't full out saying Krasner's trying to let these criminals go free. Maybe he just needs help. So they passed Act 58 so that Shapiro had full jurisdiction to prosecute local crimes in Philly, right? Not only did he not use Act 58, Shapiro was the first, he told the WHYY reporters in 2019, and I quote, this is, you know, Ben brings receipts, right? I'm going to continue to work in partnership with the district attorney's office. I didn't seek this law and I didn't advocate it. And it doesn't change anything. Right. And then he went and told The Intercept, which is a very radically left wing website, July 12, 2019, that he was working to repeal Act 58. So that he could, you know, not have this concurrent jurisdiction. So he didn't want it. He didn't want to come in here and do actual law enforcement work. You know, he was a little busy trying to shut down the Mariner's pipeline so that our port wouldn't have any jobs shipping good Pennsylvania natural gas to places like the Ukraine and Western Europe. I digress. He also fought the renewal of Act 58 just this year in January when Martina White and Rep. Williams were renewing the law. So the fact is, he's had jurisdiction. You know, if you're arguing, well, Shapiro can't retry something the DA's office lost.
Yes.
On, well, that's fine. You know, but you also have the right to actually take these cases first. You actually have the right to deploy Pennsylvania State Police who aren't hamstrung by ridiculously radical laws in the city of Philadelphia to go out and work these cases. And if you want even further proof that they're lying to you, quietly, this year in 2022, an election year,
yeah,
the Shapiro administration deployed deputy AGs and state troopers to assist specialty units in the Philadelphia Police Department in places like Kensington and North Philly. Mm-hmm. So he's quietly trying to do it. The problem is the numbers aren't working out for him, so he's not owning it right now. But there are troopers in the streets of Kensington as we speak trying to help out.
And that's the thing. Ben Maness, we're speaking with Ben Maness, Public Safety SME on Twitter. No, that's the thing. This, so your whole piece, the latest piece at Broad and Liberty, the impact on the midterm elections. Josh Shapiro is a politically savvy guy. He's been waiting his whole life for all of this. His whole political life has been calculated. So this just shows you that he's not for the people, because if he was, as opposed to his own aspirations, if he was, why not get involved? Like, that's your job. Like, why not do this sooner? We're talking about the midterms and polling and how things look. If crime is a winning issue and he's politically as savvy as he is, why not do this sooner? Like, was the polling bad on it 2 years ago?
Yes. I mean, the George Floyd issue. Yes. So you're looking at Josh Shapiro. He's playing more politics than he is playing the actual job as an attorney general. And that's actually interesting, because if you look at a national, so some of the good people quoted from Brookings and Manhattan Institute in my last article, right? Mm-hmm. It talks about how crime is polling right up there. Crime and the economy are the two biggest issues in the 2022 midterm elections, Don't let them distract you with things like abortion, because the truth of the matter is Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, New York, this whole chunk of land that we live in is not in danger of losing the right to choose. They're just not. Even if Mastriano wins, they'll have something sensible. It'll be, you know, it'll be, you know, 3-4 months. We're not going the way of Texas. So the fact that all he wants to talk about is what's happening in places like Texas and Mississippi and Idaho tells you that the man has nothing to run on. So my question is, if someone, you know, and this includes places like the city Philadelphia councilmen, you know, members who are running around talking about abortion, and they have absolutely no jurisdiction on this issue. The key thing you got to look at is when someone's trying to distract you away from their track record, look harder at their track record. And Josh Shapiro, especially Josh Shapiro, but we could get into Fetterman too, because that is a real fun one.
Sure.
This man had the ability to actually run stronger for governor if he did come out as a law enforcement presence. So if you look at Ed Rendell was a strong district attorney who became a strong anti-crime mayor, you know, right after the crack explosion.
Yeah.
And he won hands down in Harrisburg. He was a Philadelphian in charge when he got to Harrisburg. So why didn't Josh Shapiro do it? Because Josh Shapiro seems very much concerned with his donors, his D.C. support, than he does with his Pennsylvania support. Because the money, you see, this is the thing. You have to follow where the donors are coming from. The PAC money is coming from places like George Soros. It's coming from Silicon Valley. It's coming from New York. So these are folks that rode the George Floyd issue so hard that it put, it painted Josh Shapiro into a woke corner. Because the issue of crime is so hyper-localized that if Shapiro came in here and Pittsburgh, because Zappal is just as bad as Krasner in many ways. If he came in there and rode that horse, you know, with the sword out and started fighting crime and becoming a bully pulpit and making the streets safer, that would have made him a much stronger candidate. Don't believe me? Look at how Pataki and Giuliani won in the mid-90s in New York.
Right.
You know, that crime was the number one issue that they rode into power on. So he could have just did that, and he didn't. And why didn't he? Because his donors out of D.C., New York, and you know, the Bay Area wanted to hear about social issues, national topics. So he's been quiet on it.
So, Ben Maness, if you don't mind staying on the line, I'm going to have to break in a second here. But before we do, I wanted to you had said you quote a lot, I think, Pew research in this piece. Emerson Polling just released something today. The economy is at the top of the list. Threats to democracy, number two at 15%. Abortion access, 10%. Healthcare, 8%. And immigration, 6%. So what we're talking about is two different worlds. There's a difference. Like, what we're talking about is the outside influence, the outside donors, and all of that money pouring in from national places. And it's not really in touch. Like, this Emerson College poll, that's do you think that those things in order are the most important things in Philadelphia right now?
Well, and let me make this very clear. When you look at a national poll, they could be skewed by how the questions are asked. And that's the pollsters are only as good as their support. I miss Terry Madonna. Terry Madonna was Franklin Marshall. He's an older guy, but he was Philly. And he was great because he just asked the questions based on, you know, yes or no answers. Right. But if you look at Pew, for example, and I quoted Pew because Pew is very big in polling and they do good sample numbers, you know, and again, like Emerson, you don't know how many people they asked. You don't know where they asked them. If you're calling people in L.A., it's going to have a different swath of answers than if you're calling people in Philly or Florida. So Emerson and Pew skewed their questions. Let me give you a good example. The top three in the Pew Research study brought the midterms down to economy. Their number two, you ready for this, was gun policy, then crime. So if you look at that, you say, okay, were they asking crime questions around gun policy? Because we know from my article in The Weekly, when I used to write there, Call a Murder a Murder, the whole rephrasing of a violent crime, an assault or a murder, as quote-unquote gun violence, tries to distract readers and listeners away from, you know, the crime, but to the tool used in the crime. So Q, really, it's economy and crime. Because if you use a gun illicitly, guess what it is? A crime.
Right.
So, that's what it comes down to. It's always, you know, they've been saying this since the Nixon administration. It's the economy, stupid.
Right.
And that's where we are right now. And these things are linked because people often don't rob people if they have money to buy things.
Nope. And we're speaking with Ben Manis, his piece in Broad and Liberty, Rising Crime's Impact on the Midterm Elections. Read it right now. And Ben, if you don't mind, if I hold you over here through traffic, I wanted to get to the Krasner hearings next week and the kind of zoo that's popping up around it. So thanks so much for sticking around. If you want to find Ben, Public Safety SME on Twitter.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Join me weekday mornings at 11 on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
On Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Fast Eddie Caiazzo, the executive producer of the program, happy to be with you this morning. 610-850-0990 is the number to get in. You want to chat before we depart for the day? Chris will be back 6 a.m. on Monday. Don't miss it. But you have me until then. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Okay, Ben Manis, our guest. He was kind enough to stay with us on the line. Read his piece right now, Rising Crime's Impact on the Midterm Elections. You just saw, if you were watching Fox, you have Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, Lee Stefanik. They're all in some diner. They're getting some good grub. So the midterms are important. The Republican Party seems to think so. And they're finally starting to make visits now. But yep, find Ben on Twitter, Public Safety SME. All right. Few headlines, rapid fire, right in a row here. Ben, you ready?
I'm ready. Hit me.
Philadelphia Police Department orders officers to work 12-hour shifts. That was last weekend to quell crime.
Yeah, well, it's not just the quelling of crime. It's the fact that they're, you know, roughly 1,300 people short. And that's, you know, that whenever you're short, you're going to have this. By the way, this is not something new. 20 years ago, when I was a cop in the D.C. Metropolitan Police working for Charles Ramsey, who ended up in Philly after that, he used to always, when he got his pants pulled down by the media, declare a quote-unquote crime emergency to cancel our live days off and stick us on overtime. But the issue is always the same. If the cases don't make, if you end up just circling the block and creating this false police presence that makes everyone feel better because they see police cars, but you're not actually, investing the time and resources and putting together big investigative cases. I'll remind everyone of the great show, The Wire. Then you're not actually going to put these criminals away for a lasting amount of time that gives you that break, mm-hmm. that enables the younger generation to grow up safely in crime, with less crime, which is what we did in the late 80s and early 90s in the law enforcement community. We arrested, a great deal of these crack dealers, and everyone now is bemoaning that, oh, they went to prison for so long. Yeah, because it literally gave so many communities a breath so that they could, get away from that. And crime went down exponentially for over 20 years, and it was stupid policies like the ones perpetrated by Larry Krasner that have brought us back to that level of murder.
Yep.
That
no.
We had back then.
I remember I was actually in college. My final project for my public speaking class, it was funny, my final project was on murder in Philadelphia, because at that point we were on pace to have more homicides than days of the year. So that being a very sad news story in itself, there were two different approaches to the policing. Then Mayor Street wanted to give cops overtime, looks like this plan here, where he wanted to increase the amount of hours they were on the street. Councilman Michael Nutter at that time wanted to actually increase the police force. And it looks like we can't do we can't do that right now because of...
And neither would solve the problem. And that's what we don't really understand. First, the system is broken. And not just the way that the left say, oh, man, it's a racist system. No, that's not what I'm talking about. In places that we're seeing declines in crime. So in 2021, two major American cities, one Democrat, one Republican, had exponential declines in murder, while their populations increased. And we're talking about Dallas and Miami. So what did Dallas and Miami do differently? Well, I'll tell you one thing they're doing differently. In Florida, if you arrest someone, or in Texas, if you arrest someone as a police officer, you're back on the street in 40, 45 minutes. The deputy sheriffs aren't just court officers like they are here in Philadelphia. They actually work at the station houses. They take the body. They take the property. They do about 50 to 60% of what Philly cops do is prisoner processing. They also streamline all the paperwork into one linked form so that you come in, you do your paperwork, the magistrate sits 24 hours a day, and you get back on the street. So why don't they do that here? It's literally just a matter of killing some patronage jobs and automating a lot of these processes that are redundant.
All right. And again, Ben Maness with us, Public Safety SME on Twitter. Now, moving to a name you had mentioned previously, the District Attorney of Philadelphia, Larry Krasner. So, PA House voted to hold him in contempt for defying the subpoena. Mm-hmm. Now, he is providing some records to the State House Committee, and there will be, I believe, two hearings next Thursday and Friday for District Larry Krasner. Now, what he's doing is he wants these hearings to be public. Now, I will admit, I did not know it wasn't public before that.
It's public. It's just not a media circus. You are, as a citizen, you're 100% able to go down and watch these things at the Navy Yard.
Okay, right. That's what I'm saying. Now, these are taking place in Philadelphia. There we go. September 29th and September 30th, Thursday and Friday. Both hearings, Navy Yard, Symposium Room. So what he's doing now is he wants... Well, first of all, the statement he released yesterday is... there's such an error to even the communication, even the written communication from his office. But he wants the public to be there. He wants them to see. And he also wants to testify as well. That, and I got to admit, Ben, that's something I didn't know. I thought he, of course, would be testifying. So can you explain the difference there? Why is he saying he wants to testify? I thought he already could.
All right, let's go. Let's see that's the problem when you're only reading his garbage. He's a liar. Okay. And let me break down the dog whistles here. He, by saying this isn't a public issue, Martina White went on 1210 twice last week and invited everyone down to this thing. Uh-huh. So are you seriously telling me this is not public? The state rep in charge of it in Philly is telling you it is,
right,
and inviting you here. So A, it's public. B, he went and called everyone to, quote-unquote, take it to the streets. What he wants to do is get a bunch of activists, progressive activists, the same type of people who show up when Ben Shapiro speaks on a college campus, to go down there and shout down everyone. By the way, the majority of people on the witness list are victims' families,
yes,
who weren't consulted. So if you have the temerity to tell a murder victim's families that, you're going to shout them down and not give them their day to speak, you're out of your mind. But, Larry Krasner absolutely had the right to be cross-examined. The problem is he didn't supply any of the actual discovery he was ordered to supply. So why in God's name would we allow this guy to sit up there and grandstand when he's in contempt for not, submitting to the process? Oh, what, now you want to submit to the process? You've been invited to this dance for over a year.
Yes.
So let's not, okay? This is a guy who is simply grasping at straws. But let me make this very clear. This is not the only ball game here. Yes, I'm very happy because the Yankees won last night. But this is the fact that this is a House hearing to move forward.
Yes.
After the recommendation, the vote in the House is made, it goes to the Senate, and the Senate will have formal hearings. This one, ladies and germs, will probably be in Harrisburg, because this is going to be like a full panel hearing, right? And that is the one that, you know, Larry will probably be again subpoenaed. And if he's held in contempt on that one, he may end up seeing the inside of a Harrisburg cell. Because you're wasting a lot of tax dollars, you know, in ignoring this. In claiming it's somehow, you know, a checks and balances in a chain of command or somehow underneath you. And again, let me make another very important point.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Larry tries to paint this committee as either unfair or racist, he's ignoring the fact, he uses this. He says, well, it's the will of the people. This is the will of the people. People voted for me.
Yeah, twice. You,
yeah, well, okay, twice. But when he's the two out of two times this man has cleared an election, he has been cited for gross campaign finance violations. So how fair were the elections? You've admitted, you've pled guilty and paid fines to the ethics board in both of your elections.
Yes.
For playing games on this. So how fair were these elections? The David and Goliath thing. The guy came in with $1.3 million in money. He beat a bunch of more qualified, even on the Democrat. You know, everyone paints as his partisan. I don't think there's a single person walking around the streets of Philadelphia right now who wouldn't prefer a Rich Negrin, you know, or what's the Jack, the other ADA, over a Larry Krasner.
Right.
And he has a seven-way field.
So that just brings me to my final question here. Is this effort genuine, and will it produce results? Because we've seen this kind of game before used as a political stunt.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing in Harrisburg to remove Larry Krasner, is this the way to do it? Is this the way that he actually, you can see him getting removed?
It remains to be seen. I would love to say yes. I think it is genuine. You know, it's funny. Every time it tends to look like a stunt, you see something that gives you a little hope. The contempt vote was very hopeful, because despite what old Lion Larry says on his engineered press conferences, where he's not giving, you know, Ralph Cipriano a fair, you know, platform to ask his questions.
Yes.
You know, that was a really bipartisan vote.
Okay.
Really. 85% of that chamber on both sides of the aisle voted to hold this man in contempt for thumbing his nose. People are sick of being murdered.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're giving the victims' families, and this is not just, you know, because it's painting a dramatic tint on, you know, what's happening here in Philly. The fact is, this man has a really, really illicit pattern, so much so that both federal and state judges at the Supreme and Commonwealth and Common Pleas courts mm-hmm. have excoriated him for not consulting with the victims before offering pleas.
Yeah.
And this is bad, because when you consider the amount of murder.
Yeah.
We could extrapolate that upwards of 200 murders every year could be a direct result of Larry's policies.
And that's
about that.
Oh, I know. And that's why this all I don't know. You're right. Like, there are moments that pop through that I'm hopeful. And there are moments that I think that, OK, this is I don't know because obviously it's the people of Philadelphia that suffer because of Larry Krasner being in office. So
if you have a second, let's just think, let's run the scenario
quickly.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this quickly. He creates policies where either no process drops charges on people or doesn't hold them on bail, even if they have multiple priors. They're on the street. They graduate from a robbery to a murder.
Right.
And he says, that's not my fault. Okay. Well, if you're a bartender in the city of Philadelphia and you serve someone and they go out, hop in a car and kill somebody, you could be held culpable.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point, if a bartender who gives that guy that one last Jameson and he goes out and kills someone without his knowledge, without him holding the keys, is held culpable, then why isn't Larry being held responsible for actually creating policies that are leaving violent criminals that have killed people like Mylon Loncar, like these students you mentioned,
sure,
like Corporal Jimmy O'Connor? All of these guys were on the street by someone who absolutely should have been held in jail because they had multiple priors and kept committing crimes. and you can't address that.
Nope. And honestly, one is too many. So, Ben Maness, great stuff. Thank you so much. Public safety expert, columnist for Broad and Liberty and the Daily Wire. Read his latest piece, Rising Crime's Impact on the Midterm Elections. Ben, have a great weekend.
You too, Eddie. Have a good one.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle. Only on Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer.
All right, 8:51. On Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Fast Eddie Caiazzo, happy to be with you this morning. Your calls, 610-850-0990 is the number, 610-850-0990. We are online at 990theanswer.com. Rick from Roxborough, thanks for checking in today. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, Eddie, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call, Fast Eddie.
Oh, absolutely. Welcome.
Got a great story for you. I have a friend in Lansdale. And he was watching one of the judicial races at the local level.
Sure.
And this was probably about like last year. So there was a Democrat running, Republican running. Republican was a retired officer. So he was watching it that night. And I think the retired officer was up by like 600 votes. Next morning, he wakes up. There's nothing in the paper about it. Right. So he comes across on Facebook, like somebody he knows that kind of like was working with the election stuff and everything else. And he's like, hey, by the way, I'm just curious, what happened? There was no news about it. Nothing, you know, nothing I could see in the paper. What happened with it? So person told me on Facebook, basically, they were still counting the mail-in ballots. And for like a borough of like 9,000, like he was like, I could go door to door and get this done in a week. they're doing it to the local level. Everybody knows that. I mean, we know that. So it's just very disheartening when this, you know, I'm still voting Republican regardless of whoever's running, but it's still kind of disheartening that still hasn't been fixed.
Oh, Rick, yeah, I got a story here that goes well with that. But yep, that is what we have to look forward to in Pennsylvania elections, sadly. And it's very scary because never before, the Republicans are always amped up to vote. They always turn out. So the midterm elections is something that the Democrats historically don't really get that amped up for. So I don't doubt it. It's a common story. And Rick, I appreciate the call. Have a great weekend.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
All right, and then we have Peter on the line. Peter, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello. Peter, you're on the air.
Hi, Ed. Okay. Yeah, I just wrote a $100 check for friends of Doug Mastriano.
Oh.
And I want to encourage people in your listening audience. I don't know how many people can do something like that.
Sure.
That was a stretch for me. I'm retired on a fixed income, but a lot of people could do $50 without stretching too much, and it would show Mastriano their support in the area. You have a wide listening audience in the area, and of course it would help financially the campaign. I just want to encourage people to do that.
No, I appreciate the call, Pete, and I mean, this isn't a Mastriano Begathon. Is Pete still on the line there? No. Okay. All good. No problem. So to Rick's story, right? You ready for this? So many city council members are running for the Philly mayor, and it could delay your mail ballot this fall. Now, folks, I just want to remind you, if you don't follow me on social media, I'm at Eddie Caiazzo on Twitter there. I predicted all of this. So we now have the mayoral election coming up. So that forces city council members to resign before they can officially throw their name in the hat to become the next mayor, because our current mayor doesn't want it and he's termed out at the end of this. You ready for this? This from the Inquirer, Jonathan Lai. They're not even mayor yet, and they're already getting in the way of the next governor and senator. A series of resignations from Philadelphia City Council in recent weeks by politicians jockeying to run for mayor next year has left multiple vacancies to be filled. Those seats would ideally be filled as soon as possible to avoid leaving hundreds of thousands of residents without representation on council. They just came back in person, Jonathan, yesterday. But anyway, doing so would delay
sending voters their mail ballots for this year's general elections for U.S. Senate, governor, and more. Those ballots are already being prepared, and there are no legal challenges preventing them from going out as early as the stories from earlier, September 19th. That's the 50-day mark before the November 8th election that begins the mail voting. Thank you, Jonathan. Under Pennsylvania law. Yeah, right. But if Council President Darrell Clark calls for the newly opened seats to be placed on the November ballot, mail ballots would instead be delayed by more than a week, or potentially much longer. That's because election law gives candidates time to file paperwork to run, as well as challenge their opponents' eligibility in court. So, he did call for these special elections. The mail ballots will be delayed, and you guessed it, folks. They will be counting Philadelphia's mail ballots long into the night and possibly into the weeks for John Fetterman and Josh Shapiro and Doug Mastriano, Dr. Oz. Aha! I called this from the very beginning when they said that it was Alan Dom who first resigned. He hasn't formally announced his candidacy for mayor. But when I... So you have to think about it this way. You have to kind of put this all together. What happened? So two seats were vacated. That leaves... two seats that weren't at large were vacated. That leaves those districts in Philadelphia without representation. So what does Darrell Clark want to do? He wants to fill those seats. How does he have to do it? Well, he has to call that special election. He has to get names on the ballot. There's not a specific date when mail ballots must be sent out, but Pennsylvania election law starts mailing 50 days before Election Day. Aha! This year, unusually, no legal challenges. Philly has a rare opportunity to actually offer a full day, full 50 days of mail-in voting this season. I don't know if you remember when I said they were talking about early voting. If you remember the conversation Chris actually had with Kellyanne Conway, why was she able to be successful for Donald Trump? Well, she said Pennsylvania had same-day voting in 2016. 2020, not the case. People were voting through mail. They didn't have to have a matching signature, didn't have to have a matching date. That happened again here in 2022. Dave McCormick actually took Oz to court suing over that to count ballots that weren't dated, weren't signed, and they ultimately were counted without those verifications, without those requirements in place. Didn't matter. Philadelphia City Commissioner said, meh, who cares? So what's a little delay here? Filling council vacancies would delay mail ballots. Under the city charter, the council president fills a vacancy by putting it up for an election to serve out the remainder of the term. But it takes at least 18 days for candidates to officially get on the ballot after Clark issues a writ of election. And there are fewer than 18 days at that time before September 19th. And that's the opening of the 50-day window. Called this from the very beginning. Why did the council members not announce sooner that they were going to resign? Why did they wait until the very, very end? And folks, this all has to do with these new rules in place that will ensure we have this kind of chaos in our election process in Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia. But don't be discouraged. I don't want you to take the message of discouragement away from this. Yes, Philly's dirty. Yes, there's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be delays. We're not going to know who wins. They're not going to report, as Rick said, not reporting results. Not reporting the results in the paper from that night, because only they're supposed to know how many they're short, right? So anyway, I don't want you to be discouraged. We have to show up. You have to vote. Chris, we'll see you on Monday at 6 a.m. I'll be there, too.
This
have a great day, everyone.
WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn.
deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.